I am concluding the series today. This could be the series that never ends or never gets started, maybe. There. Okay. So, yeah. Thank you. As I shared, you know, this is a series that could never end. We've been talking about knowing God through Jesus and coming into an awareness of who God is, all that God is. Like I said, it could never be exhausted. We'll spend the rest of our lives and probably eternity. I made reference once to how the angels of God, you know, are circling, or the creatures in heaven we see circling the throne of God and going on and on and on, day after day, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. And, you know, we just understand that, you know, they can be seeing God in every facet and just go on for eternity just declaring his holiness. Well, we have looked at a few subjects, and I'm not going to review them. You can go online and get the messages if you missed any to find out what they're all about. But I'm just going to make reference to them. Knowing God through Jesus is how we started out with that message. And knowing God as Father, knowing God as King, the righteousness of God or the rightness of God, we talked about that. Faith in God's faithfulness. I'm just holding myself down here because I want to go into every one of these that we talked about, just emphasize the stuff that's there, but I said I wasn't going to do that. So faith in God's faithfulness, he is faithful. God is true. God the gardener or farmer father. Okay. And we also have talked about how God loves children. One thing that I'll add into this really wasn't part of the series, but I don't know if you got a chance to read the newspaper article. Us as pastors in the community area are given an opportunity like about once every 2 months to put an article in the paper. There's a rotation of pastors. But when I did that, I did about God as the just judge. And I was making reference to a court ruling that happened recently that I won't go into the details of it, but many people are disturbed about the way that the outcome came. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, that's... you can read the paper, or what I'm going to do is probably... How many of you saw the article in the paper? Okay, just a few. So what I'm going to do, and not go into it today, but I will put that article as part of the newsletter that's coming out next Sunday. So rather than going into it, but we see that sometimes justice here on earth is not completed as we think it should be. But here's the reality that we see in the scripture, and Jesus even yielded himself to this, that in 1 Peter 2:23 it says he did not retaliate when he was insulted. We know that Jesus was unjustly judged and put to death. He was an innocent person that was put to death for the wrong cause. But it says he did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. And we'll find out that here on earth, sometimes things are not judged fairly. And people have different ideas about what fair is and what it is not. But the point of it is God, no matter what happens here on earth, God will judge fairly. And he will see to it that justice is complete. So enough on that. It wasn't really part of the, but it certainly fit with God being the just judge, as knowing God through Jesus and how Jesus responded when he was falsely accused. Today I want to talk to you about God is powerful. Now, you know, I thought as I was looking through, you know, the various titles that I gave the messages, you know, God is true, God loves children, and now today I'm doing God is powerful. It's like, what are we back in children's church? God, everyone say, God is powerful, you know, and you get that kids kind of chanty sing-song way of repeating things, you know. Everyone say, God is good. Okay, so I mean, you know, when you're looking through this, it's like, how elementary is this? But, you know, as I was focusing on the message today, I'm going to attempt to get a little bit of interaction from you, because it's more than just hearing about God as powerful. You know, we could all walk away saying, I already know that. I mean, look at the reality of creation. I know God is powerful. What's the big deal about studying God is powerful? Well, we need to understand how his power, first of all, knowing his power, but then knowing his power toward us, and then knowing his power in us. And if we have the solid foundation of those things, it'll make a difference in our lives, the way we live it out, the way we respond to situations. And so I don't want you just going out knowing God is powerful, but that God is powerful in your life and what kind of a difference it will make. So I'm going to emphasize one of the scriptures that we've looked at several times through this series of messages, and this is from Hebrews 1:1-3, and it says this: God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. And this last part here even fits in really with the title of the message or the message subject today. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. We realize that Jesus exactly represents God. And so when we look at his works and when we listen to his words, we are looking at and listening to the Father through Jesus and getting to know him better. He is the exact representation of God. So let's start out with the very beginning of Jesus here on earth and realizing that it was an act of God's power for Jesus to come to earth. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, 31-35. Luke 1, 31-35, and we are going to have Christmas in July. You heard of that before? Christmas in July? Luke chapter 1, verses 31-35. Is your iPod there yet, Tyler? Oh, good. Okay. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Okay, so we're starting out here with Jesus coming to earth. The Lord speaks to Mary and says, "You will conceive and you will give birth." And she says, "That can't be," or "How can this be?" She says, "I've never been with a man. I am a virgin. How can this be? How can I conceive and have a child?" And the Lord responds this way. He says, "The power of the Most High will overshadow you." So the beginning of Jesus in his existence as a man here on earth was a result of the power of God coming upon Mary. The power of God enabled her to conceive when she had never been with a man, continued in her virginity, and yet she conceives and has a child, that child being the child of God. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now let's look at that word power for a little bit. It comes from the Greek word dunamis, which means force. I just have pasted in the Greek dictionary meaning of this word. Dunamis, which means force, literally or figuratively. Specifically, miraculous power, usually by implication, a miracle itself. And then it's translated into these various English words: ability, abundance, meaning, might, or mightily, mighty, mighty deed, worker of miracles, power, strength, violence, mighty, wonderful work. Okay, so this is the Greek word, what it means when it was translated into the English word power. Now, you've maybe heard this before, but I'm going to give you this word origin and history. Dynamite, which was coined in 1867 by its inventor, the chemist Alfred Nobel, he took that word dynamite from the Greek word dynamis, which means power. Figuratively, the sense of something potentially dangerous. Now, watch this. Watch carefully. Kablammo! Everyone say it. Kablammo. Okay, yeah, be interactive with me this morning. Do it again. Kablammo. Not just kaboom. When it's the power of God, it's kablammo. All right. So the point of it is this English word that we know, dynamite, came from the Greek word, from the Greek origin of the word dynamos or dunamis. Okay, that's the Greek word. And so, you know, we can easily relate to that, something powerful. And when you look at that, something potentially dangerous, you know, I want you to say or ask this question, you know, with when we're dealing with God and Him interacting in our life, is there the possibility of something dangerous able to happen? Well, you know, go back and ask Mary, who was a virgin, who was unmarried, and was going to conceive and have a child. Was that potentially dangerous? Yeah. Absolutely. Talk about rock your world in an unsettling way. And, you know, here she almost lost the man that was going to marry her. He was going to divorce her. And so, you know, and they were betrothed to be married, and that's how he would separate himself from her because of she's found to be with child. And he wasn't the dad. And so, you know, what is all of this? There's the potential danger that's there. I mean, in our, you know, thought of the word dynamite, we see stuff blowing up and stuff getting, you know, blasted apart and kablammo, that kind of thing. But the point of it is our lives can really be changed, really come out of sorts, like we would maybe think it should be, when we are functioning with the power of God functioning in our life. Okay, so enough on the history of the word power and the word dunamis or dynamite. You know, I was thinking, this being the last message and everything in this series, I really ought to go out with a bang. So, I blew it, didn't I? Should I go on?
You should get them all.
Just a bad fuse. Oh no, never mind. I'm moving on. Matthew 22, again, knowing God through Jesus, these are the words that Jesus had to say. And the situation here was the Sadducees had come to test Jesus. In the first place, the Sadducees don't even believe in resurrection, but they were coming to Jesus to ask him questions about the resurrection. And they were saying, you know, if a man gets married, doesn't have a child, and the man dies, and, you know, she remarries, marries his brother, marries the next brother, they all die, you know, down to the seventh brother. Well, when they get to heaven, when they're raised from the dead and get to heaven, whose wife is she going to be? And this is Jesus' response. He says, your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures, and you don't know the power of God. And he went into not even addressing their question about, well, he did address it. He said, you know, in heaven there is no marrying and giving in marriage. He says they're all going to be like angels. So it's not like you know, who am I going to be married to when I'm in heaven? What the point of it is, he was saying, and he went on to say, you guys don't even believe in the resurrection. He said, when God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God is not the God of the dead, he is the God of the living. So there is a resurrection. You guys don't understand the scriptures and you don't know the power of God, the power of God to raise people from the dead. And so, you know, as, you know, we took the admonishment that when Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said to them, you don't have God's message in your heart. And we were continually addressing that, saying we want God's message in our heart. And here he addresses the Sadducees and he says, you don't know the power of God. Well, we want to know the power of God. We don't want to receive that same admonishment. We want to know the power, know the scriptures, and know the power of God. Okay, Romans chapter 1 says we're without excuse. In verse 20, it says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. God's power is seen in nature. It's like when I was beginning the message here and I said, you know, we could all go out and say, yeah, I know God's powerful. Look at the creation. He really displays his power, his character, his nature, his attributes through the creation that we have. So no man is without excuse. You can bring up the pygmy in Africa and they have the same display of God's power as we do. Okay, so no one is without excuse. We can understand his eternal power. We need to know that. We see Jesus describing or expressing the Lord's power in what we describe as the Lord's Prayer. I'm calling it the Lord's Prayer acknowledgement here, where God has all power. You're familiar with this. I put it on the screen in the King James translation because if you've recited or spoken or prayed the Lord's Prayer, typically it came from this translation. So let's all do this together this morning. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is what Jesus was saying. He said, pray this way. In other words, when you are praying, declare the Lord's power. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power, Lord, and yours is the glory. Now, we're going to sing this last. Have you ever heard the Lord's Prayer in song? Our Father, which art in heaven. Well, we're just going to sing the last part here. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That was really good. The only way it could be better is if you stood up. If you can stand up, and let's sing that again. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, you sit down. But think about that. You know, a lot of times we, you know, people who don't know how to pray usually know how to pray this prayer, you know, and maybe prayed in you know, desperation. Oh, God, our Father who art in heaven, you know. It's either that or it's, you know, lead me beside still waters in the valley of the shadow of death. How does that prayer, how does that song go? You know, where it just, people get desperate. But the point of this is what Jesus is saying, when you're praying, declare the Lord's power. Lord, yours is the power. So he wants us to know the power of God. He wants us to acknowledge the power of God. Okay, and it's not just that God has power, but his power is directed toward us. Let's look at that. Knowing his power toward us. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 10 and 38, verse 38. Excuse me. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 says this. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So here what we see is the demonstration of God's power through Jesus. Again, knowing God's power, knowing his power through his Son, through the Son, the Lord Jesus, and that his power is directed towards us. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and the result of that Holy Spirit and power is him healing all the oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. See, God was with Jesus healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. It was the power of God displayed through Jesus toward us, toward mankind. Okay, then in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, I'm just going to point out these and just give you don't have to look these up. I'm just going to run through these next three verses really quick. Luke 5:17, the power of the Lord was present to heal. This is describing Jesus. The power of the Lord was present to heal. Luke 6:19, power was coming from him and healing them all. And then in Luke 8:46, we see how tangible this power is when Jesus says, I was aware that power had gone out of me. These were the multitudes that Jesus was ministering. In the last verse there, Luke 8:46 was the woman with the continual flow of blood. And she said, if I could just reach out and touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. She reached out, she touched him, and whoa, Jesus says, who touched me? And the disciples are all going, man, there's a crowd here. What are you talking about? Who touched me? He says, no, I felt power leave me. There was the tangibility of that power of God displayed through the person of Jesus Christ on behalf of the people that he was ministering to, knowing God's power toward us. Okay, then in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I do want you to look this one up. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, a plethora of the scriptures today. I wanted you to see this because I believe that this is the greatest demonstration of God's power. The healings and deliverances that Jesus brought forth were really, specifically the healings, were really temporary because, you know, everyone, no matter how healed they get, they still die. But the point of this is, look at this power of God demonstrated in salvation. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. We're not to be ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God at work, bringing us salvation. The greatest miracle that you will ever experience, the miracle that will last for eternity, will never end, is the salvation that God gives us through Jesus Christ. It's the power of God for salvation to those who believe, to everyone who believes. Okay, then, sorry, there's the note. Then in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20 says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Okay, so Paul is saying here to the Ephesians, I want you to know, I want you to understand this power of God, this incredible greatness of power, of God's power for us who believe him. It is for us who believe him. It is God's power toward us. And he describes that power. It's the same power, the same mighty power. Everyone say mighty power. Dynamite, kablammo, the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. How powerful is that? That's mighty power. And that same power is working toward us, for us. And Paul says, understand it. Remember, Jesus said, you don't understand the power of God. Paul is saying, I want you to understand this incredible greatness of God's power. We're to understand it. So we want to keep understanding. We want to keep growing in knowledge of God's power toward us and experiencing that. But it's not just God's power. It's not just God's power toward us. It is also God's power in us. There's another dimension of the power of God that we need to know and understand and embrace and respond as a result of this knowledge. Knowing his power in us. Okay, look at Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Again, understanding that we're knowing God through Jesus, we see Jesus enabling his disciples with this power when he sends them out. This is where he sent out the 12 disciples. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. It says, one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Okay, so they were given power and they were given authority to cast out all demons and heal all diseases. Then in Luke chapter 10, we see in verses 17 and 20, it stepped up from not only the 12 to now the 72 followers of Jesus. He sends them out. Luke 10, 17 through 20. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning. Look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Okay, so there again we see they describe demons obey us when we use your name. This is awesome, this power and this authority that you have put in us. Jesus, you transferred that power, that authority to us. You told us to go and to have authority over demonic spirits and so forth. And they obey us when we use your name. And he says, yeah, he says, I've given you a power, authority over all the power of the enemy. So here in this, we can even see, you know, the reality of the scripture in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you. When Jesus says, I've given you power over the enemy, all power over the enemy, that power in us is greater than the enemy or than he who is in the world. Greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And but Jesus said, you know, don't rejoice about this. Don't rejoice because you have this awesome power. What you need to be rejoicing about is the greatest miracle that could ever happen, the power of God towards you in salvation. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Now again, when you understand the reality of this power, it'll make a difference in how you respond to situations. I'll just go back to quite a few years ago when my wife and I were ministering in our home. There was a young lady that was staying with us for a period of time, and she had been dealing with drugs and addictions and things like that. And there was one time where we were just praying over her, praying that the effects of the drugs, which, you know, they can do a lot of brain damage kind of stuff, that the effects of the drugs would not be, you know, ongoing, that they would not be, you know, residual in her body. We just laid hands on her and started praying, and the next thing, she was on the floor writhing and biting herself. Now, what is that? That's not drugs. That's the demonic powers that were inflicting and affecting her, and so what did we do? Go, ah, and run out of the house? No. We understood what was happening, and we also understood our position in Christ Jesus, that as a result of him and us, we had a power that was stronger than the power of the enemy. And so, like Jesus said, you cast out those evil spirits. You cast out those demonic spirits. And so, you know, it's like, be ready for this, people. You think, well, that only happens in third world countries. Well, you haven't been around much. I will say this, that mostly in this country, they medicate it or lock it up. But the reality is, there are demonic spirits that are affecting people, and at your presence or the presence of God in you, Jesus in you, it stirs things up. You laying hands on a person that is oppressed, I don't know if I need to even go as far as possessed, but a person that's being afflicted with demonic spirits, it will stir them up. How are you going to respond when one manifests itself and says, she belongs to me? Oh no, she doesn't. I will tell you the truth. I don't care how much you lie. He is the liar, father of all lies, and in Jesus' name we declare the truth. And the truth is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, with which we slice up the devil. It is written. It is written. God says. And so, you know, how are you going to respond in these situations? You've got to understand that the power of God is in me. That's how Jesus declared it. That's how Jesus gave authority, and it didn't just end there. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, he said this. He said, now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power. See, it's not just power toward us, it's power in us, God's power in us, so that we can go on and do like he says in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, through Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So it's God's power in us enabling us to do the work of the ministry. God's power in us enabling us to be witnesses for the Lord. And, you know, we could go on. It's not just delegated to these few that were being spoken to that day. We see the 120 in the upper room who received that power. And then Peter going on to preach in Acts chapter 2 and verse 39 when he says, this gift is for you and for your children and for even for the Gentiles and for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. So this power was intended not just to be a story for us in this Bible, but it's for us to acknowledge and for us to receive it as ourselves, for ourselves, this power of God in us. And when we have received that power of God in us, then you can sing this song. Yeah, sing it with me. I've got the power. I've got the power. Woo, yeah. Okay, so the point of that is, now you really have to have the right attitude in this. It's not, I've got power, look out, I've got power. But it's his power in me. But when you acknowledge that it's his power in me, then you need to stand up and declare to the devil, to the circumstances that come against you that are trying to destroy your life, wait a minute, I've got the power. It's his power in me that enables me to do these things. Kablammo! Say it with me. Kablammo! All right? I got the power. Sorry. I've got the power. Holy Ghost, stop. I've got the power. Is that okay? Okay. Right. Sorry. Sorry if my dancing is offensive. I just get stirred up. Hallelujah. Okay, let's move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 5. Is it warm in here? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words or impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Paul's saying here, he said, my message and my preaching were very plain. And that's good. It's right for us to keep the message plain, to keep the message about Jesus crucified. He said, I relied on the power of God. That's the whole point. He wasn't relying on his ability to communicate, his ability to persuade people. He was relying on God's power. And the reason why he was relying on God's power so that their faith would be, their trust would be in the power of God and not in human wisdom. So we can, you know, we can adjust our lives to simplicity, realizing that it's God's power in us. And I really like this next verse. Well, no, two verses. Now, okay, let's just go to the next verse. I'll get there eventually. 1 Corinthians 4, just a couple pages, one or two pages to the right. 1 Corinthians 4, 18 through 20 says, some of you have become arrogant, thinking I will not visit you again. But I will come, and soon, if the Lord lets me. And then I'll find out whether these arrogant people just give pretentious speeches or whether they really have God's power. For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. The kingdom of God is living God's power. It's not pretentious speeches. It's not just, you know, someone being able to whirl up a crowd because they really know how to communicate. In fact, sometimes the better is the simple, because we want our life to be about the power of God. And he says that's going to be the test, is the kingdom of God is living by God's power, not persuasive or pretentious speeches. So these arrogant people who are coming to you, he says the test is going to be whether God's power is active in their life. The kingdom of God is living by God's power. Okay. Then 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says this. I just have this one printed on the screen. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we also are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. So you might need to add to the phrase, I've got the power. I've got the power. It's his power in me, or something to that effect, you know, so that you're acknowledging. This makes it clear, you know, our clay jars, our simplicity, the fact that we're, you know, pretty resourceless on our own declares the power of God in us, our weakness, his strength. And we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, when it says, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. So if any of you are sitting back there saying, you know, I just don't have the stuff. Hallelujah, that's good. when you can acknowledge you don't have the stuff, because in your weakness, it gives God the opportunity to just be strong in you. Some people are good looking and charismatic, and I don't have either of those. I have to rely on God's power. I can't just smooth over into a crowd and impress people. But that's a good thing, I guess, because then His power can be strong in my weakness. Hallelujah. How come you guys laughed when I said I don't have good looks, sir? That sounds like pretentious speech to me. Okay, so we're glad to boast about our weaknesses. There's nothing wrong with our weaknesses. It's the opportunity for Christ's power to work through us. Ephesians chapter 3, 16 through 21. This passage here is absolutely loaded with declarations of God's power in us. I want you to just, you know, up and down your Bible page, highlight this passage of Scripture if you can, if you will, so that you easily note it when you're going through your Scriptures, and that jumps out at you to be put in remembrance of this. Ephesians 3, starting with verse 16. I pray from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Look at what it says in here. He says, I pray. Paul makes this a prayer. He says, I'm praying that He will empower you from His unlimited resources. Realize that about God. When we're needing His power toward us, His resources are unlimited. When we are exemplifying or displaying His power through us, His resources are unlimited. I don't care how scary that demon comes out in that person or whatever. His power is unlimited in us. I pray He will empower you with His unlimited resources. Power to understand. Okay, so even in our understanding, we can receive power to understand. This is describing understanding the love of Christ, although it's too great to be fully understood fully. Isn't that something? He's saying, I want you to understand something you can't fully understand. You can only do that supernaturally by the Spirit of God giving you revelation, understanding that comes from the power of God, so that you can know fully what would otherwise be unable to be fully known. Fully knowing, understanding this love of Christ. Made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. The Lord is always pressing us toward completion. Complete in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I'm ministering here with all the resources that God gives me, all the energy God gives me, that I might present you complete in Christ. We were destined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be complete in Him, made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And then this part is just really awesome. God is able to do indefinitely more than we might ask or think. And in the Amplified translation, it goes on to exemplify or amplify that when it says, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams, through His mighty power at work within us. It's God's power at work in us that gives God the ability to do these things even beyond our farthest imagination. When we were talking about God loves children, last week we were talking about that. It's one of the attributes of children is that their imagination is so awesome. You know, they can imagine things that just aren't happening or aren't even able to happen. You know, but that's what God wants us to imagine bigger and then realize that even more beyond that, God is able to work through us, His power in us, beyond what we can even imagine. So, you know, let's stop taking the limits, or let's start taking off the limits. Stop limiting God when those resources are unlimited. Let's stop limiting him, realizing that there is a power that he desires to display through us, within us. And then I just want to conclude with this passage of scripture that kind of brings it all down, this whole series down to a closure. And that is where it is declared in heaven and we declare here on earth, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you please. Again, it is acknowledging the power belongs to you, Lord God, and your power is displayed in this creation, your power is displayed toward me, and your power is displayed in me. Now, I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Don't get anybody get nervous, but stand to your feet if you can. And if you desire this power of God, I just want you to put your hands up to the air. Put your hands as in an expression of opening yourself up to God and saying, Lord, I need this dynamite power. I need this kablammo in my own life. I need these possibilities of dangerous things happening that are for your sake and for your kingdom. Lord, fill me with your power. Your power toward me, Lord, to act on my behalf in my life situations and circumstances. Where I am weak, Lord, you be strong and display your strength and your power in me, Lord. And then through me, Lord, empower me with your Holy Spirit. You said to your disciples to wait to receive power from on high, and to in these not many days from now you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. Lord, we want to be a strong witness for you, not with just persuasive words. Lord, we want to be a strong witness for you with the demonstration of the Spirit and power so that people's trust will be in you. People's faith will be in you and your power and not in the persuasive words of men. Father, we just offer ourselves up to be, yes, earthen vessels, but earthen vessels that encase a treasure, Lord, just a precious commodity. And it's okay for us in our weakness, Lord, because it shows that you are strong in us, that it's your power, not ours, ourselves. And that we can declare, Lord, we have the power because it is your power in us. Lord, we pray this, we make this request, and then we pray, Lord, that not only we'd receive this and be all stirred up and hyped up about it, but that we would go, Lord, and from this place, we would present this power of God for the people that you love, Lord, that are all around us and needing a touch of God in their life, or needing a deliverance from demonic oppression, or needing a healing in their body. Jesus said, you said these signs will follow them that believe. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. They will cast out evil spirits. They will speak with new tongues. Lord, your intent is for us to display the power of God on behalf of other people. So we pray that we would not just receive this for ourselves, but we would let this manifest through us. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord God, we love you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Kablammo! Say it with me. Kablammo! Okay, you go out with that power of God and do some potentially dangerous things in the Spirit on his behalf. Hallelujah. You're dismissed.